All right, this week on Lion of Judah Synagogue, we're going to talk about the first and second king of Israel. Yes, so stay tuned. It should be an epic show. They are Alright, so, I just got done reading 1 Samuel, and 1 Samuel is where the kings begin getting introduced by Samuel, the prophet, and begin getting anointed. The first king, Samuel, is told, now I'm going to try to explain this story to the best of my ability, alright, so bear with me here. Alright, so Samuel, he basically took oil to go meet this guy named Saul, who was the son of somebody, I can't remember. And he found Saul out trying to find donkeys, because the donkeys had took off from his dad's house. So Saul was out there looking for him, but he couldn't find him. And then Samuel showed up and said, hey, don't worry about it, because the donkeys were found, you know, everything will be all right. But I do have some news to tell you that God spoke to me and said that you are going to be the next king of Israel. And how I remember the story, I'm not sure if Saul really understood what Samuel was saying, because he kind of went about his business still worried about the donkeys. And then the donkeys were found, and then Saul went back, and eventually, some way, somehow, Samuel anointed him king of Israel. But here is the problem with Saul. Saul is not a person who wants to do what God wants. He wants to do what Saul wants to do, and seems to always try to figure out a way to do it his own way over God's way. And Saul comes to find out through his life that that isn't the best thing to do or the best way to go about business when dealing with the Almighty. And so, yeah, so trying to remember exactly how the turning about went of Saul, but every time God called him to do something, he wouldn't do it. And the epicenter of Saul's life was when he would not kill the king Agag from the Amalekite tribe, and also took the animals that God explicitly told him not to. But in Saul's mind, he was like, oh, it's okay, because we're going to use them for sacrifices. And I had to spare the king, because I don't remember the reasoning right there, but there was a reason why he reasoned in his own mind he needed to spare it. But ultimately, it was wickedness towards God. Basically, it was saying that Saul had a better plan than the plan of everyone, which wasn't the case. So Saul, because of that, got an evil spirit put upon him. And that's where we get introduced to the second king, who's just a boy at this time, King David. Because King David was the person who could play the music to ease King Saul's just a bad spirit, where it was like he was just twisted after that point, because he knew that God wasn't with him, and that he did turn on God, and God knew his plan and knew that he was trying to spare the whole Amalekite tribe, and also took the animals, which probably for more reasons than just taking them. Like, why would you take animals? Like, really, if God said, hey, kill all the animals, why wouldn't you kill all the animals? You feel bad for them, or what? I don't know. That's a good question. That's a deep study. So, yes. Yeah, so, going back to the point, which was King David's introduced, a little, they says ruddy-faced, which red-faced, rosy cheeks, boy with light eyes. He's introduced, and he's actually the youngest son of Jesse, but when Samuel goes out, he first meets the oldest son of Jesse, Eliab, and thinks this is going to be the next king for sure, because he looks at Eliab and his stature and thinks, man, this guy is a good dude. But God explains to Samuel that God just looks at the heart and how much servitude they're really willing to put themselves into. This isn't what God said, this is what I'm saying, but this is what I believe. God looks at people's hearts based on how much servitude they're willing to put in for the kingdom of heaven to come about on earth. And the people that help bring the kingdom of heaven about on earth are going to get the paychecks that are the real paychecks. You can keep working for dollar bills or whatever and try to expect, like, hey, these dollar bills are going to save me eternally. But really, the only eternity we all have is in heaven on earth, like it is in heaven, under one God, one rule, one law that actually goes forth among the entire land, in order that everyone's protected by the law, which is why the law exists. It's not to persecute. The law was never there to say, hey, you got to give me $50 because you're driving your car too fast. The law's there to say, hey, don't run your car off this cliff, because if you do, then gravity takes effect and your car goes plummeting down at, what is it, 100 terminal velocity, 170, 140 miles per hour down towards these jaggedy rocks, and then it goes kaboom. So don't mess around. So, yeah. And the point is that it wasn't Eliab. It was actually Jesse's youngest son who was out in the field because he was a shepherd and he always tended the sheep and the animals. Second point about David. Not only was he a great musician, point number one, he also took care of animals, point number two. So if you're looking for how to act in the world, I would take note of point number one, a musician, and point number two, taking care of animals. And so then he comes trotting in, and then God, through the Spirit, speaks to Samuel and says, yep, this is the new king of Israel. And so Samuel anoints him king of Israel. But he doesn't really tell Saul all this stuff. But somehow, one of Saul's assistants, who probably works with Samuel some way, he tells Saul, maybe we can get a musician in here to play music for you to take away that tormenting spirit, because he had a tormenting spirit. And music was the only thing that soothed the tormenting spirit. And some people down here just have tormenting spirits. I don't know. Just, that's the thing that leads them to depression. That's the thing that leads them to guilt. That's the thing that leads them to suicide. That's the thing that leads them to crime. That's the thing that leads them to everywhere. It's a tormenting spirit. You know, they've already made up their mind who they're going to serve and what they're going to do. So that spirit's upon them. That's just the way it is. You want the good spirit, you gotta go the good direction. You want the bad spirit, go the bad direction. Just pretty separate entities, really. Okay, so we're back to David now. David goes and plays for King Saul because that's the best, I want to say harpsichordist, harpist, but I don't know exactly. It's a stringed instrument. And that was the best person that could play the stringed instrument, I guess, was David. But somehow he made sure that Saul was soothed, or his spirit was soothed, and he was able to continue as the king of Israel. Because think about it, if not, then either people would have started getting killed left and right by Saul, which Saul did go on a tyrannical rant after that whole thing, but he was soothed by David, so it wasn't as bad. So that's what you can say. It wasn't as bad. Not that it stopped it. It just wasn't as bad. And that's a good point. So, anyways, so then David finds his best little buddy, Jonathan, and they're always hanging out, and they build a real loving friendship. Like, they really love each other so much that eventually they made a pact to where it was like David told Jonathan, like, I'll take care of your family forever. And, you know, Jonathan said, I'd do the same for you if I was the king of Israel, you know. And so that pact probably still exists, or does still exist, because it was a forever pact. So, yeah, whoever the descendants of Jonathan are, blessed people. Okay, so Jonathan, and then eventually Saul has David marry his daughter after he already gave, promised the first one to him, gave her away to somebody else, showing that he didn't really care or respect David at all. Then the problem is that Saul's daughter falls in love with David, so Saul's like, hey, at least I can get David to go out to the front lines and fight and hopefully die in order to win this over, because he don't have no money. So he needs to give me a dowry of some kind, like some kind of trade. And then he says, well, I'll just take 100 foreskins from dead Philistines to avenge my enemy, you know, because the Philistines were messing with Saul and always attacking him and stuff. And so David's like, okay, fine, whatever. And so then he takes his men and he gets them 200 foreskins of the Philistines, you know, because they're uncircumcised, and that's a big thing in the kingdom of heaven. And the Amalekites know it, and they purposely go against it. That's just how the fight goes. It's like, I don't hate them for it. I don't think anyone hates them for it. That's just who they are. That just shows what kind of spirit they are, you know? So it's like, hey, but we're not going to sit here and fight about it. Like, you ever, like, step across the line, then it's going to get dealt with, you know, and vice versa. If we ever stepped across the line, then it could get dealt with. And I'm sure that numerous times throughout Israel's history, Israel has been in the wrong, and they definitely need to be held accountable for them being in the wrong, if they are, ever. All right, so going back, so Saul has a tormenting spirit because he let the Amalekite king live and took all the animals. And then now we are to where David is, drum roll please, going to fight a big old giant, a 9-foot giant, someone that wears 200-pound armor, is humongous, and said that, hey, there's no point in both our armies fighting. Just send out your strongest person, and we'll settle this in one battle between the two strongest people. And nobody in Israel wanted to fight this giant by themselves. So they sat around across the valley and yelled at each other, until eventually David had to go down to bring food to his brothers, and he came down and he's seen it, and he's like, I'll take care of that dude. And they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know, I beat up bears and club them to death and lions, like, I could take care of him. And so they actually did give him a chance at like 13 years old, and he went out there and he got 5 stones and he had a shepherd's stick. And that's when Goliath is like, hey, you're going to come at me with a stick? What am I, a dog? You know? and that's just funny. Think about this little 13-year-old boy with a little stick hobbling across the way towards the big old giant. And he said, and David said, you know, this battle isn't mine, it's the Lord's. And today I'm going to cut off your head and show all these people that it's the Lord's battle. And so he took a rock on his way across and put it in a shepherd's sling, threw it, and it stuck in Goliath's head. And he went down and he grabbed the sword and he cut off his head. And that's our show for this week.
Your presence is all I see.